ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So this is my April Fool's joke. Everybody thought I was going to play harmonium, but it's just a stand for the computer. Okay, we're continuing our reading from the sixth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 4, entitled the Hansa Guya Prayers. Text number 46, yeah? Okay. Tapo me hridayam brahmans tanur Vidya kriyakritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savaha suraha. Let me just make sure the word, yes, it's brahmans. Somebody mispronounced that. I thought it's dharma. I was concerned about the last word on the first line, though, because somebody said Brahms. I just wanted to make sure it's spelled right. It's Brahmams. Tapo me hridayang Brahmams. Tanur vidya kriya kritihi. Angani kratavo jata. Dharma atma savak suraha. Tapo me hridayang Brahmams. Tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha tapo me hridayang brahmans tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha. Please chant. Tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha tapo me hridayang brahmang tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha tapo me hridayang brahmans tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha tapo me hridayang brahmans tanur vidya kriya kritihi angani kratavo jata dharma atma savak suraha. Vaishnavis? Okay, synonyms. Tapaha. Austerities like mental control. Mystic yoga. And meditation. May, my, hridayam, heart, brahman, O brahmana, tanuhu, the body, vidya, the knowledge derived from Vedic scripture, kriya, spiritual activities, akritihi, form, angani, the limbs of the body. Kratavaha. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices mentioned in the Vedic literature. Jataha. Completed. Dharmaha. The religious principles for executing the ritualistic ceremonies. Atma, my soul. Asavaha, life heirs. Suraha, the demigods who execute my orders in different departments of the material world. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. Please repeat. My dear Brahmana, austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body. And spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. Srila Prabhupada's purport for this verse. Sometimes atheists argue that since God is invisible to their eyes, they do not believe in God. For them, the Supreme Lord is describing a method by which one can see God in His impersonal form. Intelligent persons can see God in His personal form, as stated in the Shastras. But if one is very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead immediately face to face, he can see the Supreme Lord through this description, which portrays the various internal and external parts of His body. To engage in tapasya, or denial of material activities, is the first principle of spiritual life. Then, there are spiritual activities, such as the performance of Vedic ritualistic sacrifices, study of the Vedic knowledge, meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. One should also respect the demigods and understand how they are situated, how they act, and how they manage the activities of the various departments of this material world. In this way, one can see how God is existing and how everything is managed perfectly because of the presence of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10, Mayadak jena prakriti suyate sacharacharam, etunanena kaunteya jagadvi paribartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti, and it is producing all moving and non-moving beings. By its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. If one is unable to see the Supreme Lord, although he is present as Krishna in his various incarnations, one may see the Supreme Lord's impersonal feature according to the direction of the Vedas by seeing the activities of material nature. Anything done under the direction of the Vedic injunctions is called dharma, as described by the order carriers of Yamaraj, we read earlier in this canto. No, Canto 6, chapter 1, text 40. Veda pranihito dharmo, yadharmas tavaparyaya. Veda narayana sakshat, svayambhur iti shushruma. That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is irreligion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, and are self-born. This we have heard from Jamaraj. In this connection, Srila Madhvacharya comments, Tapo bhimani rudrastu Vishnu hridayam ashritaha Vidya rupa tatai voma Vishnos tanum upashrita Shingara yakriti gataha Kriyatma paka shasanaha Angeshu kritavak sarve Madhya dehe chadharmarat Prano vayu shita gato Pramadya shveshu devataha. The various demigods are all acting under the protection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and according to their various actions, the demigods are differently named. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pacharne Nirvishesha Srinivani Paschakya Deshtarne Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishnang Shtapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvatangsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Panamami Haripri Vancha Kalpatarubhya Shakripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gorbhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So who's speaking? Lord Vishnu. And who is he speaking to? Daksha. So yesterday we had a little bit of discussion about Daksha's position at the end of Mukunda Datta Prabhu's very nice presentation. What is Daksha's position? Is he a pure devotee? What is he? Well, he may be whatever he is, but he's so fortunate that he's getting direct darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there anybody here who feels that they would not like to have direct darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So, in one sense, the discussion is moot. The whole practice of bhakti yoga is supposed to bring us to the point where we can see Krishna face to face. So Daksha is seeing Lord Vishnu face to face. So, end of discussion. That's what we're supposedly hankering for. That's what we should be hankering for. But unfortunately, in the conditioned state, and even in the mixed state, meaning mixed between contaminated and devotional activities, we're hankering after seeing other personalities. Everybody in this world are running around hoping they can meet Britney Spears or, you know, Brad Pitt or President Obama or just, nobody's waking up every day dreaming of seeing Krishna. Oh, if I could only meet Krishna today. No, everybody's wanting to meet this personality, that personality, who are fallible personalities just like we are. You know, when the tsunami came, it didn't distinguish between rich stockbrokers and poor fishermen. Anybody who was in the path, they got dragged away. So, although materially, there is no equality. Somebody's more intelligent, somebody's taller, somebody's faster, somebody's richer. On the material platform, there is no equality. But still, death is the great equalizer. Doesn't discriminate. Rich, poor, fat, thin, young, old, everybody has to face death at their appointed time. So, foolishly, we keep hankering to meet other personalities who are bound up by the laws of death. Instead of approaching that personality who can free us from the bondage of death. I always remember this verse, spoken by Lord Varaha, very, very nicely rendered into English by Prabhupada. Lord Varaha said, Satyam vayam bhoj vanagocha amrgra yusmanmrida mrigaye grama singham. Now, mrityupashai Pratimoktasya Mukbirya Vikatanam Tavagrinantya Bhadra, and the way Prabhupada translates it is very, very, very nicely done, very poetic. He says, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, indeed, we are creatures of the jungle, and we're searching after hunting dogs like you. This is Lord Varaha speaking to Hiranyaksha. He said, those who are freed from the clutches of death have no fear from the loose talk in which you're indulging, because you're bound up by the laws of death. So this is our situation. We are bound up by the laws of death. We have to admit, death is coming for all of us. So it doesn't do us any good glorifying and bowing down to and approaching other people who are bound up also by the laws of death. What are they going to do for us? Make your life a little more pleasant, you know, for the next 20 years or so while you're still here? You know, instead of driving a Volkswagen, you get to drive a BMW. So what? When oil runs out, which now even the scientists are agreeing that within 50 years, this oil is going to be dried up. Prabhupada was saying that back in the 70s. 50 years, at most 100 years, this oil-based civilization is going to come crashing down. So concentrate on self-sufficiency. But we're not listening. We're waiting for it to actually happen. But when the oil runs out, whether you're driving a Cadillac or a BMW or an old Yugo, it doesn't matter. It's not going to run without the petrol. So ultimately these material distinctions, differences, they don't make any, they don't do anything for us in the long run. We have to approach Krishna. We should be hankering to see Krishna face to face. So Daksha is very fortunate. He's seeing Lord Vishnu face to face. So we may sit around discussing his position, whether he's completely pure or this or that. It doesn't matter. He's getting direct darshan of the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to him so nicely, explaining. Daksha already in his prayers showed that he knew the Lord's position, and that he's intelligent enough to approach the Supreme Person for what he wants. Even if he may still have some material desires, he's approaching the Supreme Person, who can actually fulfill those desires. Any desire that you have can be fulfilled by Krishna. You want your own planet, you want your own universe, Krishna can give it to you. So, who else should you approach? Nobody else. Go to God, go to Krishna for whatever it is you want. So Daksha went, maybe he had some contamination, whatever, but Krishna was pleased with him. And this is the whole endeavor. We're supposed to be striving every day in our devotional activities, whether we work in the gift shop or the BBT or we go out on Sankirtan, whatever we do, we're supposed to be striving to please Krishna. Not directly. This is impudence, Prabhupada would remind us over and over again. It is impudent to think you can please Krishna directly. You have to please Krishna through the spiritual master. You have to please Krishna through the spiritual master. And Krishna is given in the Bhagavad Gita a formula for how we can see him. If we are actually trying to see Krishna. Krishna said, yes, you can see me. In the fourth chapter, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, explaining his position. Excuse me. So Krishna says to Arjuna there in the fourth chapter, which is entitled Transcendental Knowledge, he says, Evayam mayatheryam yoga prokta puratanaha bhaktosime sakarcheti rahasyam hyetam uttamam. Krishna says, that very ancient science of the relationship with the Supreme, I'm explaining to you today. Why? Because you're my bhakti, you're my devotee, and you're my friend, Sakha. He said, and therefore, you can understand the mysteries of this science. So this is a very important verse. Prabhupada said in one lecture, and I found the lecture. I'm going to read portions of Prabhupada's lecture to you, because Prabhupada said this verse is extremely important for understanding the Bhagavad Gita. So let me just read a little bit of Prabhupada's lecture on this verse. This is in Bombay, March 23rd, 1974. So Prabhupada says, so Krishna can be seen always, provided you want to see God. But we don't want to see God. That is the difficulty. Otherwise, you can see Sadaiva. In the Brahma Sangita, it is said, Santak Sadaiva Hridayeshu Vilokayanti. Santa, if you are Santa means saintly person. If you become saintly person, But if you remain rogues, thieves, cats and dogs, then how can you see God? You have to become a santa. Premanjana churta bhakti vilochanena santaksa daiva hridayeshu vilokayanti. Yam kshama sundaram achintya guna sarupam govindam adi purusham tamahang bhajami. So you have to become santa. If you remain always addicted to sinful activities, how you can see God? That is not possible. You have to give up these rascal, sinful activities. What are the sinful activities? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling, that's all. You have to give up these. Esham antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. Te dona moha nirmuktaha. If you become leader, so-called leader, rascal leader, and you are addicted to illicit sex and intoxication and meeting, you must be, if you are sinful, how you can lead persons? See, Prabhupada is dismissing all of these current so-called leaders. If you are sinful, how you can lead persons? Andayata andari upaniyamana. Blind man is leading another blind man. Therefore, there is no solution. Why the world is in chaos? Because the leaders are all sinful. These are all the sinful definitions. Striya, suna, pana, dyuta, yatarpapa, shaturvida. So God seeing is not very difficult, provided you are purified, you are pure. So this Krishna consciousness movement is a purificatory process. Purificatory process. The first condition, we do not accept any rascal who is addicted to these four principles. We do not make cheap disciples. Our condition is, first of all, you must give up these things. Illicit sex and meat eating and intoxication, up to the drinking of tea and cigarette. You have to give up. And gambling. So these nice boys, they have given up. They were addicted to all these habits in their previous lives, but they have given up. Therefore, they are making progress. Santa. They have become santa, saintly persons. So Krishna is param pavitram. And Prabhupada goes on. So this is the point. You must become pure. Prabhupada is telling us, we have to desire. The whole process of Krishna consciousness is for purification. Because the living entity is by nature pure. Even though we're covered by so many layers, after going through so many lifetimes and so many species, we've become covered by the crud. Prabhupada said, trying to cleanse the heart of the average person is like trying to clean coal. You wash coal and it remains black. But if you know there's a diamond inside, then you'll go on washing until you get to that diamond. So this is the point. The living entity is by nature pure compared to the diamond. And even though the heart is encrusted with so much material manifestation of sinful desires, still we should be encouraged that if we go on following this purificatory process of Krishna consciousness, the day will come when we become completely pure. And Prabhupada also assured us, if we once chant the Hare Krishna mantra purely, Krishna will appear before us, face to face. So this should encourage us to keep going on. Keep going on, keep striving. As I said also recently, I was listening to a lecture where Prabhupada said, following these principles, it's not difficult. It seems difficult because you're materially addicted. But even if it seems difficult, fix your mind on the goal and accept the austerity. The goal is to become completely pure, to qualify ourselves to go back to the kingdom of God. So accept this as an austerity to attain that goal, even if it seems difficult to do these things. It's actually not difficult. Prabhupada used to say it repeatedly in his classes. Nobody dies from not gambling. Nobody dies because they didn't have illicit sex. Nobody dies because they don't eat meat. They only think that they will die, but they won't. We know from experience, personal experience, and so many millions of people around the world who don't eat meat. They're not dying from not eating meat. So following these principles is not going to kill you. Just the opposite. It makes your life better, healthier, and happier, both in this life and the next. So there really is no difficulty. It only appears difficult because we are still contaminated internally. Now, in today's verse, Lord Vishnu is describing different parts of his body. So does that mean that he has a heart? And he has, no. Prabhupada made that point repeatedly, that one rascal says that it's not to Krishna you should surrender, it's to the unborn inside Krishna. So Prabhupada used to say, what a rascal. There is no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. There's no question of unborn inside and no. Krishna is complete spirit, inside and out. just like we are in our original position. Now we're in this material body, which has an external manifestation, the skin and all that, and inside there are so many things that if we saw on a regular basis, we would faint. Most of us, we cannot stomach seeing the inside of the body. If all of a sudden you see somebody disemboweled, you want to faint. But as long as everything is nicely packaged, we're thinking, nice package. But when you get to see what's inside the package, you flip out. Not many of us could be a surgeon and cut the body open and move things around and, you know, it freaks us out. But that's the nature of this body. But Krishna's body is not like that. There's no difference between Krishna's inside and outside. There's no difference even between the different limbs. Every morning we're singing, we sing two verses from the Brahma Samhita. So what is the second one? Everybody should know. Angani asya sakalendriya vritti manti. Come on, recite. Pashanti panti. Chiram jaganti. Ananda chimaya sadujvala. Govinda mari purusham. So what does that verse mean? Who can recite that verse? What is the meaning? Well, you know how it starts. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. Yes. And then? What is it being pointed out in that verse? Yeah. Each of the limbs of that transcendental body possesses in itself the full-fledged functions of all the organs and eternally sees, maintains, and manifests the unlimited universe is both spiritual and mundane. This is the whole point. So even though Lord Vishnu is describing here his body in terms of the heart and this and that, there is no difference between any part of Krishna's body. And like I said once, I heard Prabhupada say in a class he was giving in Vrindavan, because there had been some nonsense going on in the temple. He said, when you look at Aditi, you see Krishna's holding the flute. He said, you see these two fingers? These two fingers can see what you're thinking. So that's Krishna. Any part of his body can perform the function of any other part. His fingers can see, he can taste with his eyes, like that. Everything is interchangeable. So we should not be confused when the Lord is describing different parts of his body. It's just, as Prabhupada said in the purport, it is a way of making himself accessible to those who cannot see him or are not qualified to see him in his personal form. So you can think of him in this way. Tapome hridayam brahmams, that the brahmanas are my heart. Austerity in the form of meditation is my heart. Vedic knowledge in the form of hymns and mantras constitutes my body, and spiritual activities and ecstatic emotions are my actual form. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are the various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind, and the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul. So there's a lot more that could be said, but it's 10 after. We'll stop here. Any questions, comments? I didn't hear you. Yes, of course. This is just Leela. Krishna doesn't have any part of the body different from any other part. In the Ishopanishad, we learn that the body of the Lord doesn't have any veins. Our body has veins. The blood is running through the veins. Krishna's body doesn't have any veins. So if some or other Krishna manifests some blood, like he did on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, or as Lord Nityananda, when Lord Nityananda was hit by the pot, here you see the painting. And Jagai Mata assaulted the Lord and apparently blood is coming. This is just Leela. There is no, his body is not like ours. There's no heart pumping blood through veins and these things are not there. Lord's body is completely spiritual and unlimitedly potent. So when he displays these manifestations, it's just for Leela, pastime. Anything else? Okay, Granth Rashimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.